The ill-fated love story of Kathy and Heathcliff shocked the handful of people who read it when it was first published in 1847. But Wuthering Heights is now regarded as a classic and perhaps the most enigmatic novel ever written. Its author, Emily Bronte, was just as mysterious. On the 200th anniversary of her birth, I've caught up with Professor Will Christie in a place she would have hated, a busy city cafe. We're talking about her life and that book.
Why does it continue to fascinate? I think that's partly to do with this strong fairy tale element. There are some major works of English literature that just seem to have the strong lineaments of fairy or folk tale. They operate on you unconsciously, is what I'm trying to say. Something like King Lear, for example, Shakespeare's King Lear. There's a sort of powerful fairy tale. And Wuthering Heights is the same. In many ways, the characters are not the characters that you would meet. Certainly not in the standard familiar, as they call them, the familiar novel or the domestic novel or whatever. These are clearly projections of what is in many ways a tortured imagination.
That imagination was evident early on. Emily Bronte was born in 1818, the fifth child of the six children of the Reverend Patrick Bronte and his wife Maria. Emily lost her mother when she was just 3 years old. Her two elder sisters died a few years later. The remaining family lived in the parsonage at Haworth in Yorkshire.
She had the kind of childhood I suppose you would expect of an extremely imaginative child in a large family, effectively sort of locked away from what we would think of as the sort of normal current of society. They were pretty much brought up in a world of their own, which is to say the world that they made amongst themselves. And we're thinking particularly, of course, of Charlotte, who was the eldest, and then there was Patrick Branwell, whom we call Branwell, then Emily and then Anne. The four of them all had their own sort of fantasy life, some of it collective, some of it individual.
Emily was described as strong-willed, with a powerful reason and a head for logic. But she was also shy and reclusive. She preferred walks on the moors to the company of people who were not her family. In 1846, the three sisters published a book of poems under pseudonyms. When the book failed to sell, they each tried their hand at novels.
There's very little of Emily's correspondence available to us, so we really are often guessing about her motivation, as a lot of people did in the 19th century. They tried to write a novel to get some money.
But they certainly didn't, did they?
But they certainly didn't. What they came out with was a whole collection of quite extraordinary texts. Emily wrote Wuthering Heights.
Oh, Heathcliff, why won't you let me come near you? You're not black and horrible as they all think. You're full of pain. I can make you happy. Let me try. You won't regret it. I'll be your slave. I can bring life back to you, new and fresh.
Early readers were horrified by the violence and cruelty in Wuthering Heights, and especially the dark character of Heathcliff, played in the 1939 film version by Laurence Olivier.
Shoot and you'll be master here again. The whole county will resound with your courage, Henley. Go on, shoot your puling chicken of a man with not enough blood in your veins to keep your hands steady.
A lot of it is to do with a kind of subliminal or unconscious power that's operating here. There's a force in the emotional relations that we might find strange and a lot of people find very off-putting, but we cannot disavow or disown. There's something about what or whom we are that Emily is dealing with there, and sometimes that is has to be at a much deeper level, and that's the way that we're responding. That's my guess, anyway, about its power.
No one knows what to make of Heathcliff, and opinions of that character have changed over time. A lot of psychological analysis on that character, the effect of early trauma. Sure. How would you sum him up?
How would I sum him up? I think there is an alternative tradition in which Emily is writing. I think that Wuthering Heights, a part of its power, is its simple uniqueness. There is, frankly, nothing quite like it. It's the sort of novel that you might expect from someone who was effectively locked away from society and even locked away from her own family. This is the product of an imagination that's broiling in different ways. But there is a tradition in which they're working. Broadly, we would call this a Gothic tradition, but Heathcliff, we can establish a genealogy. It doesn't explain him away, but it does help to explain him, if you see what I mean. And it does help to explain our fascination with him. Because ever since, and we tend to date this from John Milton, Paradise Lost, and the figure of Satan, this incredibly compelling figure, this sort of strange, angst-ridden, powerful, eloquent, driven figure of the character we identify as the Gothic hero. And it's what William Blake said, basically, about Milton... Paradise Lost, which was quite simply that Milton was on the devil's side without realising it.
Do you think Emily was?
And I think there's no question that Emily was on the devil's side without realising it, because we are all, in our own way, on the devil's side insofar as we are much more engaged and fascinated by that kind of tortured figure than we are by a kind of pristine goodness, which is bores us witless. How do you make Eden interesting? It wasn't interesting, it was boring. And it's only at the point of the fall of humankind, the fall, that we start to get interested. And that's, unfortunately, who we are.
I dreamt I went to heaven and that heaven didn't seem to be my home. And I broke my heart with weeping to come back to earth. The angels were so angry, they flung me out into the middle of the heath, on top of Wuthering Heights.
Wuthering Heights still stirs passions. Some readers adore it, others loathe it. But we can all agree it's a work that won't be forgotten anytime soon. And let's not forget its creator, Emily Bronte.